Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, December 5th edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. There's a lot to talk about today. Some good news, some bad news, a lot of fight announcements. We're going to get right into it. And the first thing I want to talk about is some news that broke really late last night, and it sucks. And you guys are going to be sad if you haven't heard about this yet, but I'm sure you have. Ryan Ortega is injured. He's partially torn his ACL. He's out of the fight with the Korean Zombie at UFC Busan later this year. That is the last card of the year, December 21st in South Korea. And Brian Ortega will no longer be fighting the Korean Zombie. So obviously terrible news for fans, for Brian Ortega. According to Ortega, it's a partial tear, so he'll be out for a couple months. And he's already rehabbing it. So that's good news. He should be able to come back probably next year in the spring or something, maybe the summer. But that's, I guess, better news than a complete tear, which would have kept him for probably another year. He hasn't fought since the Max Holloway fight a year ago. So he's been out for almost over a year now at this point. And the guy is a great fighter, but obviously you can't fight through a torn ACL. So really disappointing news for Brian Ortega. For the Korean Zombie, obviously it sucks for him too because he just lost his opponent. And now the question is, who's going to replace the Korean Zombie? You cannot take him off this card. Fans have bought tickets to watch the Korean Zombie fight. It's in South Korea. This is his card. That fight was going to be amazing, no doubt about it. I was really looking forward to that fight. What a great fight to end the year, but it's not going to happen now. So we got to look at who could possibly fill in. I'm going to give some of my picks for who could fill in, but I have to say that Ariel Helwani did mention this morning on his Twitter that the UFC is considering Frankie Edgar as the opponent, which to me makes absolutely no sense. First off, Frankie has a fight booked. He's going to fight Corey Sandhagen next month in Raleigh on January 25th at Bantamweight. So the fact that the UFC is considering booking him for this fight at featherweight in 2 weeks against the Korean Zombie and fly all the way to South Korea to fight a killer in the Korean Zombie and then have him fight another killer in Corey Sandhagen next month is just ludicrous to me. Terrible idea by the UFC. I'm hoping this is wrong. This doesn't make sense to me. Why would Frankie be booked for two fights within the span of a month against two absolute killers in the Korean Zombie and Corey Sandhagen? Terrible, terrible situation for Frankie Edgar if that's the case. I don't know why he'd consider it. I don't know why Ali would consider it. I get Frankie wants to make some money. He'd probably get compensated really well for saving the card, but this doesn't make sense. He's trained for 135. Why would he be fighting at 145 and then fight at 135 next month? Bad idea. Don't want to see it. Not interested. I want to, you know, even this Corey Sandhagen fight, I think is a really dangerous fight for Frankie, but I'm interested in seeing that fight. I don't want to see him fight Korean Zombie. He's made it clear he wants to fight Bantamweight. Why is he fighting the Korean Zombie at featherweight and then Corey Sandhagen at Bantamweight next week? I'm just mind blown right now. I don't get it. When I saw Ariel tweet this, I had to double check it wasn't a parody account because I was just like, this doesn't make sense. So again, that's not official. That's not confirmed, but there's a chance it could happen. So that's what Ariel tweeted this morning. Again, there's no confirmation about that, but I hope it's not the case. Now, in my opinion, you got to look at the rankings, just kind of see who's available. So obviously, Max is fighting Volkanovski. Those are the champion number one. Those guys are out of the question. Number two is Ortega. He's not a possibility right now, obviously. Aldo is number three. He's fighting at 135 next week against Marlon Moraes. Number four, you have Zabit. And I think Zabit's perfect. Why not get Zabit? Can he not make 145 in 2 weeks? The guy lives in Russia. It's not far from South Korea. I want to see Zabit versus Korean Zombie. To me, that's the fight that makes sense. Zabit's number four. Zombie's number seven. That fight makes sense. The other fight you could do, actually, number five is Frankie, but again, he's fighting Bantamweight. Number six is Rodriguez. You could do the rematch between Yair and Korean Zombie. First fight was obviously one of the best fights of all time. Incredible knockout last year. I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch. I'm not sure if it makes sense right now, to be completely honest, but I wouldn't mind it, especially on the short notice, because then you look down a little bit. You got McCannu, who says he's moving up to lightweight. He wants to fight Clay Guida. You got Jeremy Stevens, who is a gatekeeper at this point and who's coming off a loss to Yair. You got Josh Emmett, who's fighting Arnold Allen. Calvin Kattar just lost to Zabit. I guess he could fill in, possibly, against Korean Zombie. That would be a pretty good fight. You got Shane Burgos. That would be a good fight, but he's ranked number 12, so does Korean Zombie want to fight the number 12 ranked guy, and he's ranked number seven. That would be a good fight. I'd watch that fight, but personally, if it was me, I'd do Zabit versus Korean Zombie. We'll see what the UFC does. I really hope this Frankie Edgar fight, I hope this is a joke. This doesn't make sense to me at all. We'll see what happens. Obviously, a bad situation for everyone that Ortega got hurt at such late notice. Only 2 weeks till the fight, but Frankie Edgar, really, like, you're really stretching at UFC if that's the guy you're picking. There's other guys, like I said, Shane Burgos, even like Ryan Hall, like why not him? You know, he's ranked number 15. I'd rather see those guys fight against Korean Zombie than Frankie Edgar, who's a bantamweight and already has a fight booked. Anyways, we'll see what happens. I'm sure the UFC will probably come up with something today. They have to announce something soon because that fight again is in 2 weeks in Busan. Some more disappointing news as far as injuries go. In Bellator, Benson Henderson's hurt, and now Michael Chandler will fight Sydney Outlaw at the Bellator Japan card at the end of the year. The first fight between Henderson and Chandler was really good, so the rematch would have been nice. It was a catchweight fight, 160 pounds. Would have been a good fight. But I actually am intrigued by this fight with Sydney Outlaw. This guy is a really good prospect, and he looked pretty good against Roger Huerta. I think he's an interesting matchup for Michael Chandler. I think he probably does actually have a good chance to beat Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler is a really good fighter. He's been around for a long time in Bellator, one of the arguably Bellator's best fighters of all time. Maybe the best. I think Pitbull at this point probably passed him just when he beat him, but he's up there. But Sydney Outlaw, man, this guy's a monster. 9 straight wins. And again, he looked pretty good against Roger Huerta. So I actually favor Sydney Outlaw, and I'm curious to see the odds in this one because, again, he is taking on somewhat short notice, 3 weeks' notice, but he just had a fight a couple weeks ago, so he should be in good shape. This is the opportunity this guy's been waiting for, and this should be a pretty good one. I got a guy commenting here. He wants the AI rematch. I mean, I'm open to it too, man. And the first fight was amazing, but does the Yair want to do that? We'll see. I really want to see the Zabit fight personally, but we'll see what happens. Marcus says, I'd like to see Zabit versus Korean Zombie, but I don't see Zabit taking a 5-round fight. Our show knows with suspect cardio. Yeah, no, you're right, Marcus. You're right. And Zabit even came up with a post like the other day on his Instagram saying that, you know, for him, it's either, you know, do you want fans to entertain you or do you want to entertain the fans or do you want to, you know, play a tactical fight? And that's why his cardio hasn't looked good. I'm not sure if I'm completely buying that, to be honest with you. I think he cuts a lot of weight. Got another guy here saying Ortega running. I wouldn't fight another version of Max. Yeah, I was at that fight last year, man, in Toronto, and he that was a bad matchup for him. Let's see here. I got a couple other – well, actually, I got a bunch of fight announcements. I'm going to talk about two fights the UFC is considering first. Ariel tweeted this as well yesterday. He says the UFC is considering Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier for UFC 248 and Johnny Walker versus Nikita Krylov for UFC Brasilia. So I'll start with Whittaker-Cannonier. This is a good fight. It'd be a fun fight to watch. I'd like to see this fight. Don't get me wrong. It'd be a fun fight. It makes sense. Both guys are highly ranked, but – it's kind of weird, right? Because Till and Whitaker seem to have agreed to that fight, and all of a sudden they're going to do Cannonier. Kind of strange. I have had a source tell me that Cannonier actually has signed the contract for this fight, so that fight seems like it's going to happen. But again, to me, Whitaker-Till was just an easy fight to book. Both guys really wanted it. Now the question is, what is the UFC going to do with Till? Everyone thought Romero was going to get the title shot at Sonya. Maybe Till gets the title shot. Who knows? Maybe there's a lot of pushback from the UFC with Romero coming off the two losses. Again, I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. I don't even care about him losing those two fights. But I just think Till versus Whittaker was such an easy fight to book. Both guys wanted it. To me, it's the UFC overthinking a little bit. At the same time, Cannonier absolutely deserves like a highly ranked opponent. The guy's incredible. So he deserves that. But at the same time, it's just kind of weird that these guys agreed to the fight. Now the UFC's going to switch things up. It's just too bad Costa's hurt because Costa getting hurt kind of screwed everything up in this division. But it is what it is. And the other fight is Johnny Walker versus Krylov. Again, Chris Weidman and Johnny Walker going back and forth. Johnny Walker calling up Chris Weidman saying, I want to smash his face for beating Anderson Silva and breaking his leg. And now you got Krylov getting the fight. This fight does make sense, though. Two guys at the bottom of the top 15 at light heavyweight. It's a fun fight. I don't see this fight going the 3 rounds. Someone's going to get finished probably. I would favor Johnny Walker fighting in Brazil, but after that last fight, you have to kind of, you know, tap into your expectations a little bit. He's not an immune fighter, and we have seen him get knocked out a few times in the past, including on the regional scene in Brazil. So, good fighter. I wouldn't mind that fight, but I you know, the Chris Weidman fight, it seemed like an easy fight to book, but the UFC wants to do this one. Instead, that's fair. All right, here's some good fight announcements coming up. And Marcus, if you're listening, I know you want to talk about this fight. Diego Sanchez versus Michelle Pereira. This has been announced for UFC Rio Rancho. So Diego Sanchez re-signed a contract with the UFC, and he's fighting Michelle Pereira. This should be a fun fight. I'm excited for this fight, guys. This is a fun one. Two guys that are like showmen, if anything. Now, Diego was a free agent. He was considering allegedly going to Lethwei, but he chose to re-sign with the UFC, which I think is the right call for him. I don't think going to another sport at this point in his career was the right call. He is 37, and he's obviously an older 37. He's taking a lot of damage, but You got to give Diego a lot of credit, man. This guy is the longest tenured fighter in the UFC. He's been fighting in the UFC since 2005. He won the Ultimate Fighter Season 1. And as a middleweight, he's fought at welterweight, he's fought at lightweight, he's fought at featherweight. The guy is an absolute legend. He'll be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. He's a legend. He really is. Having said that, he didn't look too good in his last fight against Chiesa. Prior to that, he did beat Nicky Gall and Craig White. Looked pretty good in those fights. But he is 37 and showing his age. So that scares me. And he's taking up Michel Pereira, who's a lot younger. I think he's 25 years old. And he is coming off the loss to Tristan Connolly. But I think, I hope he learned a lot from that loss. He completely blew his gas tank out in that fight with his little dance, the celebration. Then the first round, those crazy flying knee attempts. You can't forget what he did to Danny Roberts earlier this year when he knocked him out with a knee. He's a really good fighter. I like this matchup a lot. It should be a lot of fun. Two showmen going after it. And I can't wait for the stare down for this one. It's going to be a fun one. My lean would have to be towards Pereira a little bit, though. Just I know Diego has got wrestling, and he's going to be fighting close to where he trains, obviously, in Albuquerque. But I don't know. We'll see what happens here. I kind of lean towards Pereira a little bit, just based on the youth. And I think he will clean up his cardio a little bit for this fight. But we'll see, because if this fight goes past round one, which it could, Diego obviously has that pressure, that cardio, that pace that breaks a lot of guys, and it could break Michel Pereira, but it's a really good fight either way. And here's a fight for UFC Auckland. I love this fight too. Magomed Mustafayev versus Brad Riddle. Really good fight here. Mustafayev, he's 15-2 in his career, 3-1 in the UFC. Knocked out Rafael Fiziev in his last fight with a spinning back kick. He actually knocked the guy out through his guard, which was incredible. And then he also knocked out Joe Proctor and Piotr Hallman. It's one loss to Kevin Lee in the UFC, so not a bad loss there. Very good fighter, and he takes on Brad Riddle here. And Brad Riddle is a lot of fun to watch, man. I like Brad Riddle quite a bit, 7-1 in his career, and he's coming off a win over Jamie Mullarkey at UFC 243 in one of the best fights of the year. So this is a really good fight. I think you've got to lean towards Mustafayev a little bit. Not sure about Riddle's striking defense. It didn't look too good in that fight, but definitely a fun fighter to watch, and a really solid matchup here by the UFC matchmakers. UFC 247 gets an intriguing welterweight bout between Alex Morono and Diego Lima. I do like this fight. I think these guys match up really well with each other. Alex Morono is 17-5, 1-0 contest, and in his UFC career, he's actually 5-2 in 1-0 contest. So, actually, sorry, 6-2 in 1-0 contest. So he's had a really good run, an underrated run at welterweight in the UFC. He's on a 3-fight win streak, beat Max Griffin in his last fight, also has wins over Zach Otto and Song Kennan during his win streak. Really fun fighter to watch. Takes on Diego Lima here, who is 15-7. In his second stint in the UFC, he is 2-3, and on a 3-fight win streak, beat Luke Jumo, Cort McGee, and Chad Laprise. So two guys that are on nice little win streaks here. I actually favor Morono. He is from Houston, so he'll be fighting close to home. And I just think he's a better fighter. I really do. And I think he's a little bit tougher too. So the Eagles look great. Don't get me wrong, but I do kind of favor Morono there. UFC Brasilia gets a couple of fights. One of them is Jeff Hughes against Carlo Felipe. I think he's making his UFC debut. I'm going to double check this guy. Don't know too much about him. He is a big heavyweight, obviously 8-0, 24 years old. He is just a regional circuit guy in Brazil. Been fighting since 2014. All his wins on the Brazilian regional scene. No one notable that he's beaten, so that's interesting. But obviously, he's been finishing everyone, so he's looked pretty good. And then Jeff Hughes, 10-3, and he's been disappointing in the UFC, in my opinion. Just an 0-2 and 1-0 contest record. The losses to Pessoa and Green, and then the no contest with Duffy. I don't know. I haven't been too impressed with Jeff Hughes. I was high on him coming in the UFC, but he hasn't looked very good. So don't know much about Felipe, but I wouldn't be surprised if he won. And the other fight for that card, UFC Brasilia, that's been announced is women's flyweight bout between Mayra Bueno Silva and Marina Moroz. Marina Moroz is a pretty good fighter at times for sure. 9-3 record. In the UFC, she is 4-3, coming off a win over Sabino Mazo, which was a good win for her. Obviously has that huge submission win over Joanne Calloway from back in her debut 4 years ago. So she's kind of been up and down, but I think she is a pretty good fighter. And then Silva, she is 5-0. And she beat Jillian Roberts in her debut by submission last year. Hasn't fought in over a year. Interesting fight, but the fact that it's in Brazil against an undefeated fighter, I think you kind of got to lead towards Silva in this fight. And then the last match I want to talk about here quickly is a women's flyweight bout for UFC London that Jim Edwards broke. It is Molly McCann versus Ashley Evans-Smith. Molly McCann is a pretty underrated fighter, actually. She's looked really good in the UFC. She's 10-2, 3-1 in the UFC. In the last three fights, beat Deanna Delbita, Arianne Lipsky, and Priscilla Cachuera, and did lose to Jillian Robertson. She takes on Ashley Evans-Smith, 6-4, and she's 4-4 in the UFC. She's actually 3-4 in the UFC, and she's coming off a loss to Andrea Lee. She's lost three of her last four fights. Yeah, I lean towards McCann, especially in London. This is a fight that she should win, and I think the UFC is giving her an easy matchup, if anything, against the fight that she should beat. So that's it for fight announcements. Obviously, quite a few of them. I'll let you guys know as soon as I can what happens with this main event for UFC Kutil Korea. I'm sure I'll be talking about it on tomorrow's podcast. Just want to see if I missed anything that I want to mention today. I did see something about Jose Aldo yesterday, and he wants to fight for 7 more years, and he still wants to box. So that's kind of interesting to me. But man, I think he should really be focusing on that Moraes fight. And there was a picture floating around of him. He didn't look too good, but again, that's just a picture. We've seen pictures in the past. Guys didn't look good. They performed amazing. Guys looked amazing and performed terribly. So you can't tell too much from photos, but there's no doubt he didn't look that good. I think that's the only other thing I want to say there. So thanks again, guys, for tuning in to today's show. Obviously, some not so great news with the Korean Zombie and Brian Ortega being canceled, but hopefully we do get a resolution of that very soon. You guys can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartinPodcast, MAOddsBreaker.com, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, Google Podcasts, everywhere. Also check me out at BJPan.com, MMARings.net. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the show. Have a great day, guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye.